Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, the portion that we read together. We have a great record here of a man who was saved. I suppose a man that we would say there was no hope for, but we're glad there is mercy and there is hope for those in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at this, we're going to pray first of all for the Lord and ask for his help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray that that will bless it to our hearts this afternoon. We thank you for the hymn of good singing, that burdens are lifted at Calvary, that Jesus is very near. We thank you, Lord, even for the unsaved, the burden of sin. The Lord is only really a prayer away. And we pray if any is unsaved in this week, that that will give them grace to turn to the Lord Jesus. And they will trust him with all of their heart. Pour out thy Spirit upon us that everything be sinned unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his great name. Amen. Every Christian loves to hear how men and women have been converted from their sin to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I will always receive a blessing in hearing such testimonies. It fills our hearts with joy in hearing of the great things that the Lord has done for them. And truly heaven says it was bowing at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul, it found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Oh, the happy, happy day. It's a blessing to hear such testimonies of how the Lord saved sinners. There's also a lesson in hearing such testimonies. One of the great lessons we hear when we hear a testimony is that the Lord Jesus is mighty. The Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners. Of course, the Apostle Paul said that in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am chief. And see, the Apostle Paul himself talks about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is able. He's able to save the rightest of sinners. He actually said himself, well, I am the chief of sinners. He says, I am the worst. But the Lord saved him. And maybe when you meet this afternoon, you feel you are the worst sinner in Kingston. Maybe you will go farther afield. Maybe you're saying, oh, I think I am the worst sinner in Tasmania. Maybe you say, well, to tell you what I feel this afternoon in this service, I feel I am the worst sinner in the world. The Lord can save you. The Lord Jesus Christ is making us save. And when we hear stories of how people were converted, oh, a blessing comes to our heart. Even our very own testimony. Oh, that happy, that great day that we find the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that not a good day of your life? Was not the best day of your life that he came to the Lord Jesus? It was the best day in my life, the day I was saved and came to Christ. Now the Bible is full of conversions. Over and over again here in the pages of the scriptures, we read of some of the vilest men and some of the vilest women who have been converted from their sins and came to Jesus Christ. You could go to the Old Testament and we could think of Manasseh. And Manasseh was a king, but oh, he was so wicked. He was vile. He worshipped the devils. He put his children through the fire. And yet we can observe in that passage that he was saved. Saul of Tarsus, as we have already noted, was a violent and wicked persecutor of the Church of Christ. He was saved. We can think of Mary Magdalene, this woman who possessed of seven devils. But she gave to Christ, the Lord saved her. We can think of Isaiah Faith, a man who lived his whole life in sin and rejected Christ. And here, friends, at the very, could we say, the 11th hour, he was saved. I'm glad there's mercy with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is a good Savior. Oh, conversion after conversion. The list goes on and on here. people who's lost and people in their sin and they find Christ. Well, I believe that one of the greatest conversions is found in the Bible. Palestine, and in this passage that we read together. A man deep in sin, but a man who found peace and rest, not in the world, not in any particular church, but he found peace and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is called Legion. This man was converted. This man was saved. This man became a child of the King. He found the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And I want us to notice some lessons concerning this conversion of this man and himself. First of all, the Bible talks about his demons. What's the first information we are given about this man here called Legion? Look at verse 27. I said, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man, notice, which had devils a long time. Now the very first thing, the Bible, remember this is the word of God, and the very first thing that Luke records about this man, there's a man came out of the city, and a man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us the first thing about him was this. He was possessed by the devil. And Luke is very particular in this point. Here is a man came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, which had devils. Satan had this man in the very palm of his hand. Here's a man, because he has demons, he's under the control of the devil. How do we know that? Look at verse 29. For it says, therefore, he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bonds. And notice at the end of verse 29, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Here's a man under the control of the devil. And the Bible here tells us, well, he was driven out into the wilderness. The devil could do whatever he wanted with this man. This man was under his control. And if the devil wanted to go into the wilderness, he drove him out into the wilderness. And if the devil wanted this man to go into the city, he drove him into the city. The devil had him in the palm of his hand. You see, he was under the control of the devil. Listen, the devil drives the goats. The Lord Jesus leads the sheep. I'm glad this afternoon following the Lord Jesus Christ. Repenting my life, I was just like this man. I was driven of the devil. Driven out into the world. Driven away from Christ. Driven into sin. Is that due to this afternoon to me? Being driven of the devil, into the world, into sin, away from God, away from church. Well, here's this man. It tells us he was driven of the devil. He had been together a long time. The verse 27 tells us, which had devils listen, long time. It wasn't just something that happened for a day. Well, you said maybe it was a week. No. Was it just for a month? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how long this man was like this, but it does tell us this, it was a long time. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, I do not know. But for many years, here was a man under the control of the devil. He had the devils a long time. The devil had him in his grasp. Because he had demons also, he was called Legion. Look at verse 30, the Lord asked him his name, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. And my name is Legion, for we are many, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 9. This man had not just one evil spirit controlling him. He had not just two evil spirits. He had not just three. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Do you know how many is in a Legion? Said the 3,000 to 6,000 devils this man had. Mary Magdalene tells us in the Bible in Luke 8 verse 2 that the Lord Jesus cast out 7 devils. She had 7 devils. This man had thousands. This man had thousands of devils. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And here's a man, he has demons, and he's under the control. control of the devil. Now this is a picture, a spiritual picture of the one outside of Christ. So I say these world laws today, there are people think that we're bad. We come to church to sing and to praise God and to read the Bible, and there are people that are doing their own thing this afternoon. But they're all in control of the devil. They're not saved. And anyone who's not saved is all in the control of the wicked one. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, it says, and they shall recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Notice that. About people that who takes captive? The devil. And how does he do it? Well, just at his will. Whatever he wants. And he controls the unsaved man. And he controls the unsaved woman. The devil has great power. And he drives him. He drives him into the world. And he drives him into sin. Maybe that's what the devil's doing to you this afternoon. He's driving you into the world. He's driving you into sin. You see, if you're not saved, you're all under the control of the devil. That's the spiritual position of every unsaved person, not just in Kingston, not just in Tasmania, but in the whole world, under the control of the wicked one. The Lord Jesus said this, he said in John 8, verse 44, you're of the devil, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You want to sum it up? Yeah, you're going to follow your father. You're going to follow the devil. And you'll do his lust. And you'll follow his way. And you'll do the very things that he wants you to do. And here's a man who's feeling well. He's under the control of the devil. I asked you this afternoon, who's controlling your life? There's only two options. There's no middle ground in this issue. It's either under the control of God, under the control of the good shepherd, or under the control of the wicked one. I'm not saying. This man had demons. Well, he was under the control of the devil. And because he had demons, not only was he under control, he was unclean. Now the Bible tells us this right for the game in Mark 5, verse 2. And it says this in Mark 5 and verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, the man out of the tomb's a man. Here's what it says. With an unclean spirit. And Mark gives us another new light about this man's possession of the devil. He says, well, it's an unclean spirit. He had a devil, no, there's no doubt about this. He has many demons. And all Mark says, he's got an unclean spirit. And the emphasis is on the uncleanness. And the man and the woman who's under the control of the devil, he lives in filth. And he lives in sin. And he lives in wickedness, and he is defiled. As you see in a moment, this was a very, very wicked, a sinful man. Why was he so wicked? Driven of the devil. Why, dear friends, did he run after sin? He was under the control of the devil. And he was unclean, and he was filthy. And he was defiled. And do not sustain with the one who is outside of Christ. Not only, dear friends, are under the control of the devil here and under his control, they're unclean. They're unclean. In Psalm 14, verse 3, it says, they're all gone aside, they're all together become filthy. They're come to do a good deed, not one. That sums up all men, not theirs. That one sums me up, a new child of God in the meeting. Filthy. There's nothing to do with food, you see. As Thomas Watson said, sin stamps the devil's image on man. Unclean in their sin. And I say to anyone who's unsaved this afternoon and this weekend, in the sight of God, they're unclean. And maybe not in the sight of their neighbor. Because you know, I deal with people in my work, they know in the sight of their neighbor, they may say, well, you're a good neighbor. And say, well, you're a good father, or a good mother, or a good son, or a good daughter. But this is in the sight of God. The God who is all holy. Man, because of his sin, well, he's unclean, he's undefiled in the sight of God. And here's a man, and he's under the control of the devil, and he's unclean. I believe that we only see ourselves outside the Christ and our sin, we will see the wickedness and the defilement and the corruptness of our hearts. We will certainly say we're unclean. Do you know that sin makes you unclean? God is all holy, but sin defiles you. Also, because this man, the demons, he was unclothed. Look at verse 27. It says, which that was a long time, and he wore no clothes. He had no clothes, this man at all, no decency. He doesn't have any, so he's running about and he's naked. Sin makes a man or a woman naked. Now, it doesn't mean they go about with no clothes, but a lot of them go about the right out of the room sometimes. We have to say that. Sin the very people to nakedness. So it's all around us, isn't it? You buy a newspaper, you're confronted with nakedness. There's posters up advertising, maybe selling cars. They have the ladies all around the cars. And the list goes on and on. What? You see nakedness. But spiritually, man is naked in the sight of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. He's no righteousness. He has nothing to offer a holy God, nothing but us. And God looks down upon a man or a woman who's outside of Christ and their own clothes, they're naked. Bare, their soul is bare in the sight of God. Remember the letter there that's written in Revelation 3, verse 17. The letter of Satan, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have needed nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But knowest not, they didn't know it, of course. They thought they had everything. This is, we've got riches, we've got goods, we have everything, we need nothing. But God says, do you not know this, that they're wretched, that they're miserable, that they're poor, that they're blind, that they're naked? Maybe some of the meeting says, well, I see that they're everything. But friends, do you not know the sight of God, they're naked? Sinner, you have no righteousness before a holy God. You have nothing to dress yourself up. This man, you see, and his demons left him unclothed. Well, they left him uncontrollable as well. Look at verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man for all the times. It caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bonds, and was driven the devil into the wilderness. I tell this in Mark chapter 5. That the man was dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had often climbed and take chain fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Never did any man tame him. Man, the people of the community said, we've got to do something with Legion. We've got to control this man. He's terrorizing the whole community. No man could tame him. And they came and they put chains after chains all around Legion. Well, they broke them asunder. Just like thread upon the dear friends' arms, he broke them asunder and he was free. He was all controlled. They could do nothing with him. Matthew 8, verse 28 says, he was exceedingly fierce so that no man could pass by that way. Nobody would go near that place for reason was. People were terrorized. People were fearful of this man. This man could not be controlled. They bound him with chains. When he snapped them like fetters, no one could pass him by, you see. He was all uncontrollable. Is that the same today when I say that man is all uncontrollable? Bind him with the law of God. What does he do? He breaks into pieces. Tell him God says, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But he doesn't care for that law. He breaks it in pieces. Tell him not to steal, not to blaspheme, not to commit adultery, not to steal. What does he do? He breaks them all in pieces. He cannot be tamed. Does this stump you up in the meeting? He cannot be tamed. You say, no, I can't get away from sin. I've tried to get away. Maybe there's people in the community that have been trying to get away from sin, away from their drugs, away from their gambling, away from the booze, but they cannot get away from it. All controllable. People are trying. Mothers have never tried. Fathers have tried. Ministers have tried. Friends have tried. But sin kills. As Matthew Henry said, the way of sin is downhill. A man cannot stop himself when he will, and that's true. And as many people like that, they're all uncontrollable. Are you uncontrollable? This man also was unhappy because Mark 5 verse 5 said of all this, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. And calling himself the stones. Oh, what a miserable picture we have here of this man. It tells us he was in the mountains and in the tombs and he's crying. The man's crying. The man is miserable. Oh, he's under the control of the devil. He's unhappy. He's cutting himself. He's trying to commit suicide. There he is with the stones and he's cutting his body. He's crying. What a sad thing. I can tell you this sin does not satisfy. Never run after the world. Never run after sin. It'll leave you crying. It'll break your heart. Here's a man and he's unhappy and he's crying. He's no home. He's home among the tombs. Listen, he's living in the graveyard. Living in the grave. Imagine in this particular town here in Kingston, there's a man and he's possessed by the devil and he's going about naked and he's living in the graveyard. In this case, at a night time, you can hear him crying. He's crying. What a terrible position would be. Oh, dear friends, that's what sin does, it makes people unhappy. There are many people in the world today, they have no rest, they have no home, no home in heaven. Many people there feel like killing themselves. There's a great increase in suicide among young people. When I first went to Kikil to serve the Lord, there was a lot of young people who were killing themselves in the community. Fathers would take their daughter down to Belfast to university. And when they got up home, they heard the phone ring. On the next morning, their daughter committed suicide. And it was just one after the other. In fact, there was a public meeting held in Northampton. And men from different persuasions and different things got together to try to do something to help them. Because our young people of our time were killing themselves. You see, sin will make a person unhappy. Here's a man, he's unhappy, he's crying, he's no hope, he's cutting himself. And he's not saved. He's not saved. If things are bad here, things are going to get worse. He would go to that place of torment because in verse 28, he actually says this. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Of course, the devil was speaking through this man. Well, they knew what was going to happen. Oh, dear friends, hell was going to happen. The wrath of God was going to fall upon this man. This man was under the control of the devil, and therefore, he was going to be tormented, and he was heading down towards hell. We always have to be honest with the Word of God. We can't hide hell out of the Bible. We all like the stories of heaven, so do I. We all like the passages that deal with going to be with Christ at the spot of heaven, and the beauty and the peace that's in heaven. But we have to say about hell. The wages of sin is death, the place of torment, the place of everlasting punishment, and the one who's under the control of the devil is heading down towards hell. We punish you all eternity. You must see it. We have to be honest with God's word. You're heading down towards hell. Oh, do you see the sad picture of this man? Oh, he's unhappy. He's uncontrollable. He's unclean, this man. He's unsafe. Is there any hope for this man? I'm glad there is. I'm glad there is because the Bible tells us about his deliverance. His letter started with the coming of Christ. In verse 22, it tells us, it came to pass on a certain day. He went in the ship of his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over all to the other side of the lake and the landsport. Ah, here's this man in the graveyard. Miserable, sinful,
on helping.
But there's somebody coming to help. Help is on its way. I want to say to you today, if you feel under your pressure, if you're in your sin, whatever it happened, help is on its way. Jesus Christ is coming. Here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to this man. He had to go through a storm for a hell of a great storm that came. But oh, he's still coming. The storm didn't stop Christ, you see. He's still coming. There's a man here in Galilee, and he's going to save him, and he's going to help him. And the storm may rage, but here he's still coming. And the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. He had to go through the storm. He had to go through the storm of Calvary, you see. He had the appearance to suffer, and the wrath of God fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he endured the wrath of God for our sins. Oh, but here's help for this man, and he's coming, because it says in verse 8, 28, and when he saw Jesus, and what a glorious day it was, he saw Jesus. He saw the one who could help him. He saw the one who could deliver him. He saw the one who could help him. And when he saw Jesus, what a sight that was who came before his eyes. The Lord Jesus came to where he was. While this man was in his sin, in his bondage, in his sorrow, he came to where he was. And I'm glad that's where the Lord Jesus comes. He comes to where we are. He died in sin this afternoon. Far away from God. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He has come to deliver sinners. He has come to save. We find the coming of Christ in this man of deliverance, and we find the command of Christ also, because it says there where he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. In Mark 5 and verse 8, in the parallel passage here of this great miracle, where he had said, come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. And he came out. And the Lord Jesus looked at Jesus, and this unclean spirit, he says, come out. Come out of this man. Listen, he came out. And that went into the hogs that we read together here all, and they ran down and were grounded in the lake. But he set them free. Who set him free? Who set this man free? All I can tell you this, it was Christ. By his word, he set him free. And I want to say to you this afternoon, if you're not saved, by his word, this word, he can set you free. He can cleanse the sinner from their sin. He can give you everlasting life. He can set you free from the shackles of sin and the shackles of the devil. The Lord can set you free. Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ can deliver. He can save sinners. Think of this man's deliverance. Think about his comfort, his comfort. He was content with the verse 35. It says here, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a wonderful change had come into the life of this man. Listen, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. We had learned beforehand, he was driven of the devil. He was running here and he was running there. He had no rest. He had no peace. He was driven of the devil. And there he is. He's sitting down at the feet of Jesus. I'm sure the people could not believe what they were seeing. Legion. No man could hear him. There he is. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And look, not only was he content, he was clothed in the verse 27. He was clothed sitting at the feet of Jesus in verse 35. And so it says he was clothed and in his right mind. He was clothed. He's also clothed because it said he was in his right mind. So the peace of the Lord was controlling this man. He and I have peace in his heart. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a wonderful change came into this man's life. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ does this for those who come to him. He saves them. He clothes them in his righteousness. The 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He covers us in the robe of righteousness. He gives us a sound mind. He gives us peace. He gives us contentment. The Lord Jesus saves sinners. He calms us down and he cleanses us and he gives us rest. We've seen that hymn sometimes, which is a great hymn, which says, peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace and mighty my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. No peace in this world. No peace in sin. But I'm glad there's peace and there's rest and there's joy and contentment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's living proof of this one. Here's a man who's driven at the devil. Here's a man who's wicked. Here is a man who's sinful. There he is, sitting low and in the feet of Jesus. The Lord can do that for you. The Lord has done it for people here in this region. Who once were sitting far away from God. Now they're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed in their right minds. Oh, dear friends, here we have the Lord delivering us. Look at the complaint about his deliverance. In verse 34, it tells us about him going out and into the company and told them and what was about to happen. Then they told what happened to the man and to the pigs. That's what they were going out to preach. When they had fed them and saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Here's the unseen telling what happened to the man. They're talking about it. Do you remember Legion? Do you remember him? He's on the control of the cattle. No man could tame him. But they never believe what has happened to this man. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed in his right mind. You know, when you can see it, you need a testimony to him. If you don't see it, you can see the difference. They can see the difference. Do you not believe what happened? About the man and the pigs, I told the story. But then you see the wonderful change. What had happened? And tell the verse 35 about them coming out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 8, or Matthew 8, verse 34, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. The whole city came out. They couldn't believe it. Are you talking about Legion? Are you talking about that wicked man? Are you saying to me he's saved? Are you saying to me he's a different man? And the whole city came out to see what was happening. Oh, they fled their madness, verse 34. They besought Jesus to get out of the country. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. You see, they lost 2,000 pigs. They lost 2,000 pigs. You know something? They thought more about the pigs than they thought about their soul. More worried about the swine than the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the soul that happened. This is the Lord Jesus saved me. Lord Jesus changed me. Oh, you see, the troubled neighbor in the neighborhood was saved. He had tormented the whole place for many years. He thought they would rejoice. But people never rejoice at the things that God does. People oppose it, you see. And how the world attacks the one who gets saved. Maybe the worst sinner in the district. But people cry out to Christ to pardon. I don't want Christ. I don't want his mercy. I don't want everlasting life. I don't want to leave my sin. I hope there's nothing like that in me. You don't want Jesus. You don't want his mercy. You don't want his love. You don't want his gift. How terrible. You're just like the people here in this passage. They have seen a great miracle. But they rejected Christ. You see, dear friends, the Lord delivered. The Lord changed. The Lord clothed. The Lord calmed them down. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's the real proof of salvation. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Have you not proof in your life? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior? The Lord can save the worst. He can save you. If the Lord can set this man free, he can set you free. If the man, the Lord can change this man, he can change you. He can deliver you. There's hope for the unsaved in this community. And if there's any in this meeting, there's hope for your soul. He can save you. But personally have started a new life. You haven't time to look at it, but you think about his discipleship. Verse 38. And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with Jesus. I want the Lord to stay with me. Mark 5, verse 18 says, and when he was come into the ship, that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. He besought Christ. He pleaded with the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I want to be with you. He says that he came to the ship. He followed the Lord Jesus, even to the ship. The Lord Jesus denied him. Now, he didn't deny him to the person, but to the place. The Lord Jesus tells him, verse 39, return to thine own house, and show how great things God had done unto thee. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The Lord says, go home and tell your friends. He depicted the story of a man at home. Maybe his parents hadn't seen him for years. And now the little doctor really comes. It's my son. It's my son. He's a new man. He would hardly recognize him. He has grown upon him. He seems calm. He seems contented. He's a different man. I can hear his words. He's talking. He's talking about a man called Jesus. He's telling about how he was saved and how he's been delivered. He went home and told friends. That's a good place to start. But that's where the people knew him. That's where the people knew him. You see, the devil may have gotten Jesus out of the area, but he did not get the message of Jesus out of the earth. God will get his message proclaimed wherever he wants it proclaimed. They got Christ out, but the message is still there. The word of the Lord is still there. The testimony of the Lord is still there. All dear friends, those who see it becomes a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, a learner of Christ. And here's this man. What a difference. What a difference the Lord Jesus Christ makes. It's only Christ can do that. This church can't do it for you. Any other church cannot do this. It is Christ who saves, who cleanses, and who gives everlasting life. And what he did for this man, he can do for you. Would you come and trust him? Would you be done with the world and be done with sin early and perish? Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. He will set you free. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll wash you in his blood and make you white as the snow. You become a disciple. You'll follow him. You'll be a witness in the workplace. A witness in the school. A witness in the community of the great things that the Lord has done for you. May the Lord bless that to your heart. May he touch hearts today after all saved.